And being, as the Mishnah describes, Hashem Atzadik as being the Shoykness of Gdolah, so we would expect, we would have to understand that the statement of Anshikness of Gdolah was completed or extended by Hashem Atzadik. This would be, not even more than that, we could say that it's the same idea, same basic idea, in a more developed form, or a more, sometimes more developed is more burnt out. So we'd like to see the relationship between these two Mishnayos in a few ways. So the simple way, the first approach, that based on things that we've said in the past, is that there isn't, it's a possible can kill and so many other Seder. The Seder of Avodas Hashem requires that first a person makes the efforts to make sure that he goes away from Ra. And only then can he accomplish Tov. If you work it the other way, so there are going to be two problems. One is the Ra that you haven't gone away from will prevent you from accomplishing Tov. And two, the fact that you're emphasizing the Tov and getting frustrated for not succeeding will emphasize the Ra. This is a klal, I don't want to go into all the examples, will take us off the point, but this is a klal that this one little subtle mistake explains many practical errors that people make in the Avodas Hashem. You can't start up with the Yetzer Hara the wrong way. If you try to force it, it's a layer. Not only on the life, but it can backfire. There are storms in the Avodas Hashem. Good intentions is very, very important. Not sufficient. Not sufficient. Good intentions. Not sufficient. That's not how to do things. There's no way around it. That's the way the point that we made, that we see from these two Mishnayos, that the other Amudim, the Amud of Avoida, the Amud of Minas Vasar, are dependent on Amud of Tayyar. Because a person could be put higher to the moon. But if it's not directed to Tayyar, you can make such a little error here. And we started on the wrong path. And just one more. Any other question? Yeah, what's that? So yeah, I say to you, there's a Seder. There's a Seder in all the ways in every area. This is a repetitive Seder. It means that each stage that we start a new cycle, or time, we want to continue on the same idea again. So there's a Seder. So many hours to take. So it would be very fitting, and that would be exactly the case, as we explain these two Mishnayos, that these are the same ideas, they're parallel. But the first one is expressing the Somera, and the second one is expressing the same thing. So let's demonstrate that. We explained in the first Mishnah that this Mishnah is explaining how to be sore from the three basic forms of Ra. Okay? What we told about the forms of Ra is not the activity of Ra, but the Shoresh of Ra. Means that koyach, that drive within a person that will send good intentions even astray. The basic driving forces that we have to watch out for. And we said that there were three. One, the first was Zizus, which the English word for it is. The impulsiveness, we should write that down. That we should have next time. Aren't there any English words on this page? I think that impulsiveness, not thinking it over, you have to think it over. One of my rabbis always used to say, that was a very good idea, I have a suggestion, think it over. And if you think it over, you sometimes think that it's not exactly what you thought the first time. Think it over. I always used to say, think it over. Jesus, number one, is making snap conclusions. There are a lot of, there's a taivus of akshalim. There's a desire in man that if you come to a snap idea, something, you got him. You got the punishment, but you thought a real good idea. And it feels snappy and catchy, so you're going to go for it. Because it's really cute. But if you think it over, you'll find out that there's only one problem. It's not right. That's there. It's not right. It's really smart. It's very cute. The only problem with it is it's wrong. One little detail. And it's better to think it over and realize it and not have to find out by acting it out. That's number one. Number two on the list was the balance between an oisin, the makabel, the person who's out to give or to take. A person who is self-centered, who calls it to think. And a person who has expression outside of himself. And the third one was tisisas hayetzer, the source of the yetzer, the regular yetzer hara, that specializes in physical forms, but has application to all areas. That the thing itself may be right, if it would be in the right amount. But there's an excitement that comes from the yetzer hara, and brings a pusher, a person, over the red lines. And something that may have been started as a mitzvah, but it gets you all wrapped up in it, and anything in the world taken to an extreme will be bad. And the favorite fellow, the first and the third are the two most common ways of how you get there, from good intentions to bad actions. One is misjudgment by not thinking over carefully, and the third is getting overly involved, excited, and the koyach takes something that was basically a good idea, but takes it beyond its good dimensions, pushes you too far. So these were the three. And the second one is selfishness. You don't know. There are people that have that problem. There are. I've seen some of my testimonies. Yeah, there are such people. Believe it or not, the
message.
It doesn't surprise me. So there must be somebody like that. It has an admission. It's gotta be. I don't know if I ever mentioned this story. But the people we have in this year always reminds me of the story. Two people lived in the same community, and they had all the same opportunities. I mean, But people don't understand where's the source, what happened there. So when Chochan realized that, let's ask them about their neighbors, friends, and children. So he went to the one who was inside. And he said, this guy, he says about this, this guy's a chokhom, this guy's a pikeh. He's not a mile in anybody. So he lived in a world full of tzaddikim, so probably turned out tzaddik. His neighbor, he said, yeah, this guy's a chokhom, but look, he's like, you know, he's so stupid. This thing, this one, yeah, true, he's smart, but that's not such good meters. He's a chokhom in everybody. Right. So he lived in a world full of Rishonim. So he lived in a city full of Rishonim. And it's probably turned out bad. The sphere isn't. Sphere affects us, but a lot of times what the sphere is. Right. Anyway, getting back to here, the three things, these are the three basic Nitiyos, the Koichos, forms of Yetzer Hara, which point us in what is wrong. And this, the Mishnah told us, I'm assuming we didn't think it over. Which is Chesed, which is the highest form of Chesed, the entire teaching, educating, and Harbe. It's not just the few that would be for this, a few Talmidim would always be for the direct they have. But Harbe means, you know, accepting Talmidim, that will slow you down, you don't have to say it again, you don't understand, it's not so easy. Sure. What do I need to say? Well, I just have to say. Well, also, Siyagla Teyer means that you're supposed to leave some of the people out. No, that's not right. It means that a person has to not be able to trust his actual inclinations because he has a disease of the age. He knows that he can drive him over the line. So he can't go off the line. You have to make a good one, the reaction that you do. So here are the three. Right? So here are the three sources of evil. And the Sumerah, I was telling you, if you want to start off, the first thing you have to do is put up an approach of going away from these three sources of Torah. Then we can turn the page, get to the second Mishnah, and we find that the Gimel Amudim, let's explain, I think, correctly last week, that these are the three sources of Torah in the world. If there's anything in Torah, there's something that exists that has real value in absolute terms, in some functional terms, that would make the Bnei Yisrael willing to relate to such a person who's involved in this activity, Birotzai. This is something that Bnei Yisrael might have. And this is the only reason why he created the world. That man has the opportunity to bring out the Toy, the Bnei Yisrael himself, his Toy. He didn't need anybody for that, he did it all by himself. He has to create us. The opportunity that a Nibra should bring out his own Toy, and express it, that's what he needs us for. That's what makes the world worth creating. So what are the three things? So on the surface, they're nice and clear, and we see your beautiful connection. And close up shop. You got it. And drums. So that's good. I promised you it was both an easy way, there's an easy way. I don't do it that way. Just for purposes of getting up. If we don't understand anything in this way, so we'll go back to this. But there's a portion of understanding over here, and it's a good thing to remember. You have a three evils, and you have a three basic type, to the point that, theoretically at least, a person, I'll explain that to one here, theoretically, a person should be able to put up against this map any action or activity that he has, and to make an absolute value judgment on it. Every action that a person does, I'm going to get comfortable here, bring in another threesome that we didn't mention yet, okay? Just for complications. Every action that a person does will fall into one of two groups of three. Either it's Torah, Avodah, or Mitzvos Hashem, and if not, it's Kina, Torah, or Kol. We'll relate those some other day. We'll get to them, but right now I don't want to confuse this thing. That's it. If a person, when every action that a person does, could and must, in final definition, relate either to this or to that. Sometimes directly, and sometimes indirectly. But in the final analysis, if theoretically we were capable of properly analyzing all of our actions and their ramifications, we would be able to define every action that we do, every idea that we have, in simple terms. Is it Torah, Avodah Gnosis Sod? Then go for it. If it's Kina Torah covered, then not good. Question. You know that question.
If it's Kina, covered, does that presuppose that the swimming out wasn't complete?
Very good. I said theoretically. Why? Because there's only simple terms. So life isn't quite so simple. For example, there's an idea of Shabbat. If we wouldn't have Kina Taira cover to assist us, we wouldn't have a chance. We wouldn't be able to make it straight up. Every Shalai Lishma has to be in one of the three. It's either Kina Taira cover. And analyze anything that gets the person moving, it's going to be somewhere in one of those three categories. And if it's not, either you don't understand what it is, or you don't understand what the categories are. But that's it. That's all that exists. Why is that all that exists? We'll discuss it. That's it. That's all it is. Okay? So here's an example. This is only one example. There are a lot of others. This is one example why my simple map is not so simple. Because I can find that what's going on here is covered, and therefore I wouldn't want to check it out, and that would be the worst possible thing I can do. Because that cover, or that timer that I have here, is bringing me, in the final of the analysis, 16 steps down the line, whatever it is, to play or to avoid the musical soda. So, I said theoretically. So if I wanted to do this practically, this messed up a lot of things. Right? But it's always important. important to have in the back of your mind this blue map, because although it's not easy to make it, you have to be a quite a bit of common problem to make practical decisions based on this map. Real map is much more complicated. But it does give us perspective. If we're not being fuzzies, so we are thinking it over, and we sometimes get confused, we have some. So it helps to remind that what is there good in the world? What is there in the world? What makes something good? If you can't relate it in the slightest imagination of yours in anything, if you can't get there, no way. Then you know you're bad. You're rich. Unless you make a serious mistake. But you have a good chance of sorting out some of the false goals. Some of the things that come to present themselves are so important, and really this is the Baltic Azach. Baltic, why? Why the Baltic? Because it, for what? And check it out, you think it over. Will it bring me or anybody to tell you? Will it improve some aspect of anybody's life to the point that it can be considered an Ezra Sodia? Is there a Avodas Hashem? And if the answer is no, and often counts, then there's a good chance that you know who was talking to me, suggested you do. Especially if it came with a heart attack. So very excited about that, yeah. So you have Caesar's fantasies as the basis. And very often the other one helped the other. There's a good chance there's nothing wrong. But let's break it down a little bit. We're going to get a little more complicated. I want to show an idea here that it has an importance in and of itself, and it may have an importance in practical application also. Let's go back to the second Mishnah. So these are the three biggies. Discussed a bit of it, understanding of it, how to express it, to hear it clearer, but the idea always that a person understands something best through its opposites. What are the opposites of Torah and Avodah Zarah? What's the opposite number? So Ali's answer is, I guess that there are three Avodahs that are so chomur that a person has to sacrifice his life before he does that. It doesn't take too much to realize, for example, that Avodah Zarah is the opposite number of Avodah Hashem. Avodah Hashem positive, and Zarah absolute negative. It doesn't take much to understand that the opposite, absolute opposite is the Zarah. Generally, anything I would do to a person would be better than them. That's about the worst I can get. Now the third one will need some explanation. Equally, let's first make the statement, equally true, as much as it is obviously true, equally true that Avodah Zarah is the opposite number of Avodah Hashem, and Shechus Dom is the opposite ability of Chassadim, so too, Gilui Arayos is the opposite number of Torah. Out real nice. I have to work too hard for that. Mils Masodim, it's the opposite. It's the Avodah Hashem, the opposite. There is love. What's left?
Prosperity. Torah is the thing that brings us, makes us human beings, brings us out of our animal state, puts us up to that thing that separates us from everything else. Until the arise is sort of the thing that because way back down there in the Nefesh, and out of the Neshama,
we have three parts to us. We have a Neshama, Chinuch HaKam HaMal, we're more related to the Rabbanim Shalom than we are to man. Chinuch HaKam HaMal. If you have a neshama, malach is not, the biggest malach in the world is nothing compared to the smallest neshama. A neshama, nishmas yisrael, the smallest neshama is bigger than the biggest malach. It says later, and it's possible, kumish. The malachim, when Klai Yisrael will be what they should be, the malachim, when they want to know what the Rabbanim Shalom is up to, they have to ask us. Because they can't know. Now, it's also like that, but it's not so easy to... all the Jews to realize what's going on the level of the Neshama. Sometimes, unfortunately, involved in other activities. But the Neshama of Tzaratzmoy is bigger than man. The group in Tzaratzmoy, meaning without the Neshama, out of perspective of the Neshama, left on its own, or even worse, taken over the purpose of the Neshama and Ruach, it's the worst animal in the world. Is there any more destructive animal? Ask me the green peas. No elephant ever destroyed the world as much as that. I mean, no lion, I mean, what can he do? Two antelopes, five antelopes. We can destroy the whole species. We're pretty good at it. Man, if the animal of man is controlled, then he's the biggest and most dangerous animal there is. This idea has an importance for itself. Very often, a person flies back and forth from two fields. When he was involved in either Torah or religious or activity, very proper form. He has an honest to goodness feeling, but there's nobody like him. He's unbelievable, he's not human. And then maybe 10 minutes later, or 2 seconds later, he is involved in something that relates totally to the group, and maybe brought him to something that has some relationship to this culture's kinetic recovery. I'm not sure if I can get to a word as well as if it's going to get in your eyes. And all of a sudden, he doesn't want to look himself in the mirror. I had this, and I did this, and that, and but I'm going to come in, I'm going to die. If I'm going to come to Shul, I'm just going to leave. Yeah. I have to come, it's also pressure, it's not nice that I show up. But if I die, I'll show up, I'll say the words. Die, I'll to talk with him. Yeah, anyway, I did. And the swaying back and forth is very confusing. It's a lot of confusion. It can bring a person to doubt the honesty of the good that he's done. I'm probably really not as good as I think I am, just a big bell guy. Well, that may also be true. But the good that person has done may also be true. But how can the Shlach HaKim have done something so good? It must be not so good. And more rare is there occurs that I can't be as big a rusher as I appear, because look at the good things that I think of. But that's more rare. Most of the time, it works the other way. Yetzirah loves first. Yetzirah l'chleinu v'achareinu, we say. What's the chleinu v'achareinu? First he comes in front of us and says, here, look, what is it there? Okay? And person goes, then he stands over your shoulder and says, haha, you look like you did. You're going to go, I was there. I saw you. You remember me, I was there. You just did that. But you went down it. He loves it. That's his favorite trick. Right. So they say, you think you're in a shama? Don't you see the good? So you have to always keep in mind that man has two very important. And all of the great milas that every individual has, anybody has a nishma so can. And this is something a person should remind himself every day when he says, Elokai nishoma. Elokai nishoma shasat vita hurri. anybody who's Jewish. Elokai, Neshama Shalati Tohe. I didn't mess it up. It's still there. If there's a Neshama, then it's still there. If there's any problems around this from the other fellow, it's still good. But as long as the Neshama is there, that's who to talk to. If the goof's got a problem, Neshama, who's bigger anyway? Neshama or goof? Who's more problem? Oh, so what's a goof? Who's a piece there? What is it now? So there's a lot of ways messing things up with the Etzer. If we didn't give the Etzer all the advantages, the Goof wouldn't have a chance. Goof stands a chance. So I have to remember that you don't have to be a Baal Gaiva if you did anything great. But neither do you have to doubt the value of it. Nor does a person have to be overly self-disrespectful because of some shown value of the gift. So you did this. Maybe it isn't a difference. So we did two of them. But it's not going to be over. You have a gift. You think you have a mouth? Okay, you have a mouth. True, you have a neshama, but you have a gift. And this way a person learns to keep a very healthy balance. And keep proper value. This is really one of the big traditions of the Bali Musa, that they give it clear, this realization of these type of ideas to the person to take on the greatest heights without becoming a Baal Gaiva, and to deal with the lowest of low of his clickers and nefesh without getting broken. Because without it, you can't do it. You have to keep yourself very lukewarm. But any good that you do will send you to Gaiva, and bad that you do will send you to Yiddish. So you have to ignore both the good and bad, and you're reduced to a very mediocre. But we agree. On both sides, we have gewaltig good places in our Neshama, and gewaltig bad places in our Guf. And it's no pillar that they sometimes both show. It could be an instantaneous, it's a whole thing. Man is made up of the three levels, right? And we're right. What's the point?
How do these terrible errors